Right. It's the 26th of May, 2014. This is another Rogue Ramble, and this one is going to take us into some interesting territory, I'm sure. Now, speaking of territory, I just walked from the house where I'm currently staying, having been made homeless in November of 2011 and 2010, the year prior to that, by a man at Nottingham County Court known as Richard English. I'm currently residing, temporarily, in an area that you might say is predominantly Muslim, although I'm not so sure of the actual statistics, right? Now, as I'm walking through the neighbourhood this evening, there's a gaggle of children, all Muslim kids, must be about 10 of them. There's very few white kids around. I mean, that's just a snapshot of the street. I'm not saying it's like that all the time. But the fact is, in that particular neighbourhood, I'm walking around as an ethnic minority. Well, I'm an ethnic minority anyway, aren't I, in terms of the world's population. But this, lest we forget, is the place of my birth, where I took incarnation this time round. And right now this evening it's a bit cool, but it's suitably green. Now, what I'm interested in going into this evening is the issue surrounding mass immigration of different peoples into Britain. It's an interesting subject for me to be tackling because, I've swallowed a lot of bullshit in my time. And particularly bullshit that's come from a left-leaning source. You know, socialist, communist, Marxist, theories were the kind of stuff that I tended to buy into more readily than the stuff propagated by the other end of the fake political spectrum. The Nationalist parties and the so-called right-wingers. I never really bought into that. But having said that, I've never really hung out with people who are of one aspect or another, because it's far too simplistic a way to look at things, you know, left, dividing it into a left or right paradigm. It's not about that at all. It's all artificially constructed, which makes me wonder about the UKIP thing. See, UKIP has won, I think it's 29 seats in the European elections, led by Nigel Farage of Huguenot. Now, whose family came over here, I don't know when. You see, I was also of the view that we're all pretty much immigrants. If we trace our family histories back far enough, we're all immigrants. But that view doesn't stand up when you start to examine it in terms of the ancient history of these lands. You know, and the reason some of us do have an affinity with the places that we're in is because I think it's kind of woven into our being. If you imagine the strand of DNA, it's like a thread woven into a quilt. It's there, you know. It's certainly the case that when I went travelling, I went travelling to have a look at the world. I had a look at the world about 14, 15 years ago, even now. And I came back because after 16 months, there were things that I missed. Even when I was in Australia, I felt as though I missed things. It wasn't so bad when I was in India. I just feel quite an affinity for Indian attitudes and Indian lifestyles. But then again, when you see its influences, then that's, you know, the Indo-European influences. The migration wasn't from, well, it is now, from now, but now it is from the east to the west, but previously, the migration was from west to east. The Arya, if you like. Migrated from the west
to the east.
So, snapshot here, snapshot there. Right, so, immigration into Britain really started, as we, most people probably know, after the Second World War, which was in the 1940s, when, you know, there were jobs to be had. Factory jobs aplenty. But also jobs in the, you know, public services, particularly the health, the National Health Service, and a lot of transport companies recruited heavily from the Caribbean, just as a lot of mills up north recruited heavily from India and Pakistan, which was ironic because, you know, there was a time when the Indians were forced to buy British cotton due to the East India Company's stranglehold on the trade. So the mass immigration began, and people resisted it, as they do. But then again, what developed was, in the 60s and into the 70s, a conscious attempt to combat the prejudice that people were experiencing who were immigrating into Britain. I think it was a genuine attempt to, well, it may well have started off as a genuine attempt to extend the hand of friendship to anyone who wished to come in and be a part of British culture. And when you look at it historically, I mean, really looking to a really long-term picture of it, who's to say that a lot of these people from Asia were not really returning to their long established roots, back to their roots, their Aryan Indo-European roots. It's interesting. And I'm not sure, not for 1 minute am I able here at this stage to provide anything less than or anything more than a rudimentary summary of where I am right now. And it may appear to be a bit crude, but, you know, that's where I am right now. I make no apologies for that. Now, if one has a connection, a spirit of connection with the land of one's birth, and if one keeps reincarnating on a particular landmass in a particular part of the world, then that's interesting, isn't it? In and of itself. Because there's bound to be a cultural, by which I mean there's going to be an affinity, a heartfelt affinity with with the landmass, with the country into which you've, the nation, if you like, that you've been born into. If you've done it with, you know, if there's an intention there, or if there is something within your DNA, something that keeps pulling you back, that would stand to reason. And, you know, maybe nationalism, which I always used to regard as something that was quite crude and not really something I was into. I think I heard someone describe it as the last refuge of a scoundrel, and if there's one thing that I was never going to be, that was a scoundrel. But nationalism may just well be an expression of that. of a connectedness that people have with those around them who were born into their particular part of the world, you know, whether that's Peru, whether that's Argentina, Australia, Guatemala, whether it's Tibet or China, Uzbekistan, Russia, Ireland, Jamaica. It doesn't really matter. The fact is that if that is what's going on, then that's very interesting. And what someone may regard as nationalism, as crude nationalism, may well be something deeper than that. And it occurs to me that maybe those who are controlling it, who are really controlling it, are tapping into those, into that knowledge. They're well aware of this affinity that people have for the land that they're born into. So they tap into it and they manipulate it to their advantage, which could well be what's going on with UKIP, because I think there's something about them being a media creation. The very fact that Robert Kilroy Silk was the former leader, and he was quite, you know, he was pretty media savvy, just as Nigel Farage is. And Nigel Farage, of course, an ex-banker. Now, I don't think, really, people should be trusting anyone who used to be an ex-banker. In my experience, you're dealing with someone who's, if not psychopathic themselves, then someone who's been inculcated into a dangerously psychopathic system that's not really operating for the interests of anyone else other than themselves. You know, and there's people out there, there are predators out there who are there to take advantage of me, of the likes of me. You know, a native indigenous man to these lands, to whom I'm regarded as an enemy. Now, that's an interesting question. Who would regard me, an indigenous man of these lands, as an enemy? To the point where they want to try and kill me off, they want to make me homeless, they send in agencies to try and do that. Well, they did. Now, why would that be? We can't just say it's a system that wanted me out of the house, that wanted to cause me loss and harm. So who was behind it? Who were the individuals that wanted to do that? Well, I've identified them in one of the recent posts, but the point is, I think we've got to stop fucking about here, because basically we're in a war. We're engaging in warfare, and a lot of it is psychological warfare. But it's very difficult when you don't know who your enemy is, or if you've been fucking distracted to look elsewhere and not in the places where your enemy lurks. So when I say that someone who used to be a banker is someone who should be treated with the utmost suspicion. And Nigel Farage certainly fits into that category. And also, you know, you've only got to look at the way that they're manipulating things. Now, Nigel Farage doesn't really deal with the issue of mass immigration. A lot of politicians just try and keep it at arm's length, because it's become now an issue that's seen as distasteful. But the point is, it's childish to do that. And you know what you don't, what you resist persists. And we need to have a logical, reasonable look into these matters with all the facts at our fingertips. Is that really too much to ask? Now, I was recently listening to a guy called Horace, the Avenger, on Radio 314. With Lana on Red Eyes Creations, and he's an interesting fellow. He's an American guy who's working very knowledgeably, I would say, from an uncompromising and unapologetic perspective. He's saying, in the simplest of terms, that there is a genocide of white people, a program of genocide that's been undergoing probably since the Second World War. And there are certain characteristics of this. He says it's an attempt to breed to breed out the indigenous peoples by a variety of methods. But if you factor in the issues of chemtrailing, of fracking, whereby they poison the water, of the additives in food, the pesticides in food, and all the things that are really slowly killing us off, right? Things about matters of a genocidal nature, and that includes the great mortgage swindle, right? Because let's think who's behind that. It's a system of enslavement that wants the individual to be under their power and making money for them, which they just, you know, they're just fleecing from them in form of these bogus mortgage payments, which are collected from tokens that they earn from being in a system of enslavement. And round it goes. You ever get a feeling you're a hamster on a wheel? Maybe because that's what you are, a hamster on a wheel. Anyway, Horace uses the, he says that, you know, so just to talk about white people, this, white people, that would be too, you know, we've got to do, you're in psychological warfare, you've got to deal with it as best you can and with immediate effect. So he refers to the genocide as being a battle between white rabbits and pink rabbits, and the pink rabbits are those that want, anyone who wants to kill off the white rabbit is a pink rabbit. You know, and we haven't really got time to fuck about with the niceties, because it really is as simple as that. There are people out there who wish us dead. Maybe not immediately, because that would deny them the opportunity to fleece us for a few quid. I say a few quid, I mean a lot of energy. So he's got a couple of mantras that he works with that have been put out there by a guy who used to work for the CIA, by the name of Bob Whitaker, who's been discredited by one or two of these fucking gung-ho, knee-jerk organisations like the Southern Poverty Centre in Alabama, the ADL, Anti-Defamation League. They're all fucking fake, phony organisations that are there just to stir it up, as far as I can tell. But anyway, he acknowledges that, and he takes the view that there are certain phrases that need to be just flipped completely. And one of them is the issue of cultural diversity. You know, the idea that, we'll let people come into the country and it'll mean that we're more culturally diverse. And that's always an interesting thing. That's always a great thing. You know, and eventually there'll be no white people and we'll just breed them out of existence. So everyone's international beige. Now, you don't hear, as he correctly states, you do not hear other countries saying, you know, other countries being accused of being too brown or too yellow or too narrow in their ethnicity. You know, no one complains there's too many Chinese people in China. Nobody complains that there's too many Africans in Africa, and that the best thing we could do would be to allow some cultural diversity. In other words, let's have some mass immigration of white people into Africa in order to make it more culturally diverse. And if you don't agree to it, then you're a racist. You know, this is the level of argument that we're dealing with here, because, as he states, the easiest way to deal with a redundant and utterly hollow racist argument is to just treat it with contempt and just basically say, ah, come on, you're only saying that because I'm white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. Diversity is a code word for white genocide. And you don't say it with any anger, you just state it as a matter of fact, because, you know, from where I think it is. I think that is the agenda. You know, and I used the word traitors the other day in an article that I wrote, because we are dealing with genocide here, and anyone who's fucking implementing it, and whether or not they know they're doing it, is actually part of that industry, and it has grown to industrial lengths, an industrial size. I mean, there are other forms of genocide as well. I think the single white male is particularly under attack, right? And he has been for a while. Another consequence of, you know, another thing is, if you look at the levels of estrogen that are in the water supply and the levels of genetic genital birth defects male babies are experiencing, and the relatively large increases in female population in the world, then you've got to ask yourself the question, why would the system or its controllers be seeking to exterminate the likes of me, an indigenous man? For the purposes of this ramble, when I say indigenous, I mean anyone who's of this land, who's born of this land. So that means anyone who feels at home here, for whatever reason. I mean, genuinely, I'm not talking about faking it. Oh, look, you must understand, I've done very well. I've passed the citizenship test. Therefore, I'm as English or as British as anyone. No, I'm talking about if you have an affinity with the people and with the land, then, you know, then, and you were born here as well, then that makes you indigenous as far as I'm concerned. The real enemy, you see, is not the Muslim neighbours or the Romanies who've come in, or the Polish people. The real enemy within is those that are trying to control and kill us off. Anyone that's trying to kill me off is my enemy. And the experiences will tend to be supported by that. I know, for fuck's sake, all I did was question having become cognizant of how money's created and the key aspects of the banking system, right? This is the point. I go into a court, it's supposed to be a British court, and I argue the point, and the fucking judge rules that it's without merit. He falsely rules that my argument has no merit, even though all I'm dealing with is the facts. I mean, that guy's either insane, but nevertheless, he's so enamoured or so blinkered within the system that he's operating in, that he believes it's got to be defended at all costs, and no way can my claim, therefore, be can it be allowed to stand. I mean, he's a liar, full-on liar. But nevertheless, he's participating in a system that wants me fucking silenced and out of the way. He participated in a system that ended up with me being thrown out on the street. It caused me great, to my immense detriment and well-being. The definitions of genocide are pretty clear on this. Anyone who's engaging in any action that's to my mental and physical detriment is my enemy, because he wants me killed. Now, it's obvious to me that the man in the street, my neighbour, no matter what he is, right, he's a new man, whatever colour he might be, is not actively seeking to wipe me out. There's someone like Richard English, a man who dresses up in the robes of a judge and presumes that he's somehow superior, and what he says is the truth, which is usually at odds with the actual facts of the matter. He believes that lie has to be supported at all costs, which means the point of making me homeless. All over a fucking debt that could never be verified, because it didn't exist. There is no debt. I was speaking to a friend, Tom, today, who's got a similar claim against the Bradford and Bingley, who are the genocidal bank with those genocidal workers within, who took such great umbrage with my claims against them. And also, you know, these people need calling out for what they are. Or rather, for what they're engaging. Genocide. Pathological genocide. Well, what Taurus, the guy to murder, would put forward, is that it's because these white rabbits, as he would refer to them, are very, very difficult to control. We make things awkward. If they're controlled, we make things awkward because they figure things out. You know, they figure out what's going on. How if you're ripping one of them off, and they get fucking. And this is essentially what happened to me. You know, I was being ripped off, and I began to. And I understood after my research, I understood just how I'd been ripped off. I wasn't prepared to put up with it anymore. But rather than just fucking tolerate it, keeping my head down. No, I choose to do what I thought was the right thing. And as a consequence of that, the controllers, the genocidal psychopaths operating on behalf of the Rothschild-controlled crown, as manifested in the likes of Dickie Inglis, came down heavy on me, brought the police in, the Freemasonic police friends, and conspired to evict me and my associate from the house. Violently. Over a debt that they can never fucking substantiate. You see, at the time, I enjoyed the sport. I enjoyed it because I thought, well, this is the game. Right, okay, I'm going, this is the treatment, this is the remedy I'm after. But it turns out that it wasn't so much a game as a fucking it is a game on one level, but it's actually a lot more serious than that. Because I didn't realise that it was not so much a game as a campaign that was being waged against me. A genocide war like that. I mean, why else would they, if they didn't want me silenced, right, and if they didn't want, you know, and if they didn't think that rendering me absolutely poverty-stricken and homeless was a good way to do that, then they wouldn't have done what they did. They wanted me silent, they wanted me rendered homeless. And if I look around at what's going on with the water supply, with the chemtrailing, then, you know, it's a slow, we're in the middle of a slow genocide. I think the analogy of the boiling frog is a particularly good one to introduce at this point. Because in that analogy, it's the boiling frog, of course, that is being heated slowly in a pan of water. The temperature gradually gets higher and higher. The frog adjusts, because he's very adaptable. And he adjusts so well that he's actually, before he realises that he's being boiled to death, he has been boiled to death. It's happened. Someone's played a number on us, right? Someone's fucking tricked us. It is psychological warfare. But I as the saying goes, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Right? And there's a lot to be positive about, because we've rumbled it. Right? And if I can understand it, then others can understand it too. The key point is, there's a sign on this guy's door that says, please, curb your dog. Curb your dog, please curb your dog. Unusual. If I can work it out, then others can work it out too, and we can actually do something about it. That is the point. But the point also that needs to be remembered is that the enemy is not who people may mistakenly believe it to be. The enemy within is the hidden hand behind the genocide. The genocidal maniacs who are working behind the scenes, as far as I can tell, are the house of, it's the House of Rothschild stroke the Crown. That's what it is. These fuckers want us dead. That's the problem. We've identified it. We've reacted. And we're at that point now where we've got to figure out what our solution is. And I would say, the solution needs to be swift, and it needs to be robust, and it needs to be as intelligent. It needs to be just the opposite of what the British judicial system is currently offering. So it's got to be intelligent. It's got to be fair. It's got to be a system, perhaps as, you know, a grand jury. If we're looking at establishing grand juries to deal with these issues and the depth that they so clearly merit, and that the courts are denying it, dealing with the truth after all. Then we take it back, and we take back the fucking land as well, and everything that's being stolen from us. We've got to take it back. We've got to take justice back, because it's been stolen. And that's not, I'm not talking about going into their system and demanding justice. It's like going into a den of thieves and demanding honesty. It's a concept that's alien to them. Their modus operandi is to deny justice to the point where, you know, good men and women are fucking thrown out on the street, and often, like my friend Mabu, you know, if they're not strong enough, they're going to die from it. They're going to be killed off as a consequence of it. It's as simple as that. Because that is the nature of the game that's being played. It's a game of genocide, a war. A slow war. And it's against anyone who's smart enough to figure out what's going on. You see, if you think about it, there's no real threat posed to the system by our Muslim brothers. You know, history shows that they are easily manipulated. I mean, for fuck's sake. How many Muslim dupes have there been? You know, how many fall for it? Time after time for the phony father figure. Osama bin Laden, for example, a CIA asset. But you know, you present a guy like that in a certain light, and he will get, even though he may be just a fictional cartoon character, as eggs are eggs, he will end up with a band of followers. You know, if that sounds a little bit simplistic, then so be it. But I'm talking really about, you know, people. If you've been inculcated into the Muslim, into Islam from a very early age, it's going to be even harder for you to break the control systems, even if you begin to perceive them, because you've got that, you've also got that to deal with. It's just like anyone who's been subjected to any religious conditioning. It's another factor that needs to be considered in these matters. But I do think it leaves people, and of course one of the consequences of that, it leaves them vulnerable to the control system, to being manipulated, to authority figures. And an easily manipulated population is what they want, isn't it? But in the meantime, if you can still prevent, but you see, this is another thing that needs to be considered, the issue of violence. The opponent, the enemy, has got all the guns and ammunition. I mean, there are a number of reasons why that's the case. They're dab hands at violence. They can do it, right? But what they can't cope with, as many listeners will understand, is naked, unorthodox, sheer, intelligent, bloody-mindedness. Naked, unorthodox, sheer, intelligent, bloody-mindedness. Which I suppose you could summarise as spirit. They can't handle that. And they can't handle it also if you take the piss. Now, you may say, well, you know, they can't be fucking, they can't be looking to take you out just because you're, you and others are difficult bastards. It's not that, surely. Well, I think I can understand that perspective, but when you begin to look deeper into it, what are the conclusions that you're going to reach? You know, what's going on with these gated communities, these former factories that have been I'm just walking past one now, which have been converted into flats. You know, very easy to control people in cities. You know, they're literally boxed off. Boxed off and boxed away. And out of contact with nature. Again, this is why I need to get out of the city. And why, you know, this dependency has to be broken. So, just to recap, the issue then is this. Is mass immigration to Britain part of a genocidal plan to wipe out the indigenous man? Consider that for a moment. You see, as difficult as all this subject is, because, you know, I bought into a lot of this anti-racist bullshit down the years, and it takes a while to deprogram oneself. But as always, I'm a guy that likes to have his head flipped. You know, I love the fact that I can consider these issues and actually be even contemplating putting this out on the internet for other people to listen to. I fucking love that, because, you know, it's a long way from where I've been. It kind of, it flips, that in and of itself flips my head a little bit. But I like that. That's the state of consciousness I actively seek out. So, you know, I'm going to deal with this fucking issue, whether or not people like it is immaterial. Because it is a significant issue. What the fuck is going on? They can no longer use the excuse that people are being brought into to take up jobs when there's a surplus of work and you know, a deficit of labour. There's not enough workers around to fill the jobs, because clearly that's not the case now. 30 years ago the miners' strike began, and that was a mass genocide that was carried out against the working peoples. Those strong, robust, intelligent working peoples who the establishment decided had simply got too much power, and therefore they must be wiped out, decimated. You know, I was talking with Michael the other night, and he said, back in the day, can you imagine if you were in a community right, and you'd found out that how the banking scam worked, and you were taking on the mortgage, the fake mortgage lender, or debt collector, really, would you not, would it not naturally be the case that people would support you in that endeavour? You know, not take the fucking side of the bankers. Well, I mean, if you do nothing, then you are taking the side of the bankers. Because silence is acquiescence. Inaction is acquiescence. Wouldn't that have happened? You know, I suspect it would have done. There's a mass manipulation. That's the name of the game. Mass manipulation. Psychological. Physical. Geopolitical. Manipulation that amounts to nothing less than genocide. Now, I don't think it's going to work, because we're onto it. You know, and the very fact that I can express something like this and know that others will pick it up and it'll spread is interesting, because this guy Horace is on it, man, in terms of some of his insights. You know, particularly those of a psychological and spiritual nature. I'm not saying he's got every fucking aspect of the picture correct, because, to be frank, who has? And without the historical aspect to it, you know, the genuine history of the ancient peoples, then you're always going to be missing something. Because that dimension needs to be understood. Then you could put everything into context. Yeah, some say that this is a Zionist, Marxist, or even Jewish construct, this genocide, that the Jews are the ones behind the genocide. Now, this is the point where I don't think it's as straightforward as that. I think certainly those aspects, those elements are involved in it. But really, it's not necessary right now to if we haven't got all the information, not necessarily to be pointing the finger, it's simple enough to know, and it's effective enough to know, as Horace states, if you're aware of who it is, your enemy is anyone who wants you dead, anyone who's trying to kill you off. So the enemy, you know, is the guy who, the liar who markets fluoride and has it put in toothpaste. The enemy is the nurse who, you know, ignorantly insist that a baby should have a vaccination that contains a number of fucking dangerous substances that are going to, X point, you know, in the future, seriously harm that baby's life in terms of its ability to think and its health and its wealth and its prosperity, its general well-being when it grows. That nurse is the enemy. Anyone who's lying to you on behalf of a system of genocidal proportions, anyone who insists that an individual owes the bank so much as a penny is part of that genocide, because they're lying. They are the enemy. Anyone who wants you dead, or as Horace would say, anyone that's wanting to kill off the white rabbit is the enemy. I know he just takes the view that, right, the enemy is the pink rabbits. It's the pink rabbits, which he would say are the Zionists and all the cadre of other influences and elements to whom the indigenous male, particularly, is a fucking hindrance, because he gets in the way of their manipulations. It's more than that, you know. You see, seriously, now it's a matter of life or death. I mean, it occurred to me earlier, the Fukushima disaster, right, is going to pollute the entire northern hemisphere. Now, who would benefit from that? Could it be the same? The same hidden cadre of pink rabbits. And, of course, the bovine, the dumbed-down, easily duped, fall for all this bullshit. I mean, we've all fallen for it, you know. But, I mean, if it's to persist amongst the police and those other operators, Bailey. You know, I mean, what the fuck is going on? What is it about these people that makes them so mentally incapable of seeing through their own crimes, their own criminality, and not understanding that every eviction is an act of genocide. Every bust for cannabis is an act of genocide. Every program of fracking is an act of genocide. Every chemtrail is an act of genocide. Every tax is an act of genocide. Every dose of fluoride is an act of genocide. Every vaccination that contains mercury and other poisonous substances is an act of genocide. You see what I mean? The evidence is adding up. And only a fool fails to see it. You know, it's staring us in the fucking face now. Our own demise is staring us in the face. But that is good. And why is it good? Good because we've identified it. And now we've identified it, and now we know what we're up against, we can fucking do something about it. See, empowerment is the name of the game. This isn't for the faint-hearted. This isn't for the sort of man to begin and then back away from. As the saying goes, there are only two mistakes you can make. One is not beginning. And two is not going all the way to the end. Not continuing. We begin and we continue. The problems are identified. We're reacting to it. More or less. We're still reacting to it. The solution is that what we're going to do about it. What are we going to do about it? Well, one of the things we're going to do about it is we're putting out, the information has to be put out there about this genocide. And if you go to selfrealization.com, you'll see there, and another articles at roguemail.org, you'll see there, the information we've put out, that Michael's put out about the genocide that's at play. Play at large. You see, that's another thing. I need to start looking at it as a game. Or if we look at it as a game, so it's possibly it's a deadly game. That's it. It's a deadly game. There are cunts out there who want us dead. When I say we, I mean the indigenous peoples. And if you can't see what I'm talking about, if you can't get your head around that, then, you know, you might as well turn off now. We haven't got time to fuck about. You're either with us or you're not, you know, in this regard. Yeah, this is a roguecast brought to you from Nottingham on a Bank Holiday Monday. Bank Holiday Monday. And we're dealing with the big question of mass immigration, particularly in the light of, I know only 30% of the population of the electorate bothered to vote, but in the light of the recent phony European elections and the council elections. You see, I realise now that we're dealing with an evil system here, because it's a system of control that turns people against each other. People who are of, you know, for want of a better expression, it turns countryman against countryman. Brother against brother. Talking about the mortgage swindle. Back on that, because I know exactly what I'm talking about there. You see, that's one of the things. I've unwittingly become someone with first-hand experience of that matter, from every aspect. And when I asked two friends to help me set up the mortgage, to help me create what I thought was a valid mortgage, little did I know that those two friends would be behind my back fucking planning and scheming to make tidy little sums of money for themselves. Kickbacks from the bank. Commissions. Off my fucking sweat equity. Now, what kind of a system encourages people to do that to each other? You know, we're friends with one another. Again, it's divide and rule. It's taken to a Machiavellian level, isn't it? We're not just dividing and ruling them. We're actually going to use them to create the divisions amongst themselves. And then police those divisions and then force those divisions themselves. We'll stand back and just watch it. You know, it's like it's a meme or a virus that gets planted, seemingly. And that's why I think we have to be fucking pretty straightforward here and call it as it is. And, you know, anyone who's, you know, who is your enemy? Anyone who's trying to kill you off. Anyone who's committing genocide against you. That's the bottom line. And on the surface, they may well look, you know, like you or I. But underneath, you see, what the fuck's going on? This is why it works, this idea that, you know, you've got the white rabbits against the pink rabbits. The terms are as loaded, but they also it needs to be simplified in some ways, because who is the enemy? If you can't identify your enemy, which is what the controllers want, they don't want to be identified, then you're going to struggle to take action against the enemy, or effective action, because you don't know who he fucking is. You can't see him. You haven't identified him. That's why the Occupy movement failed. Not just because he got co-opted, but because they identified the enemy as being the bankers, but they haven't really identified the instruments of control or the instruments of tyranny that bankers have used against people. You know, and when you understand those, then there's things you can do about it. There's ways to combat it and thus prevent yourself from being genocide. I hope this is making sense, because as I said at the outset, this is a rather rudimentary and possibly a little bit raw ramble that I'm going on this evening, you know, because there's stuff still formulating in my mind, the information that's come to light. But as I said, I think, you know, anything that is worthy, you know, if you're a free thinker, then no subject is off the agenda, no subject at all. So if we're talking about mass immigration and whether or not that's part of a genocidal agenda, then that's fine. That's the way it is. You know, I'm got any fucking time for an namby-pamby hand-wringing of any faux liberality. Those days are gone, if they ever existed. You see, the good thing is that it's under conditions like this that one has to be creative. Just as the, the Zionist agenda has promulgated from what I can gather, the erroneous view that 6 million Jews were killed in some kind of failed Holocaust, right? Thereby directing attention away from the real fucking Holocaust that's going on right now. The Holocaust being the genocide. That's genius. That's Malthusian, Machiavellian, Luciferian, satanic Illuminati, financier-based genius. But it's some failure because, of course, it's built on shit. It's built on foundations of diarrhea. It's not built on the truth. The shifting base of diarrhea is not going to hold any structure safe. So what we've organised, what we will be organising shortly, and I want to put this in as a plug now, right, because you'll see it advertised through various social media, Also, by the way, if you're on Facebook, link up with us on Facebook, okay? Michael O'Dara on Facebook, you can find Michael O'Benicia, anything with the self-realization community, self-realization with an S, then you'll find us and you can link up. You know, we've got to get this information out. That's what the game's about. This is where what I was saying about the guy Horace being perceptive in terms of understanding how a meme works and understanding how to manipulate and control the media. As he says, if you've lost control of the media, then you're going to lose control of the message, which means you've lost control. And the very fact that I'm out here now rambling and talking about these issues is testimony to that. So, with that in mind, we're going to be putting out a special... we're going to be organising an event. It'll be invitation only. No, it won't be invitation only. You'll have to write to us to express an interest. The event will be it's going to be a conference, which is going to be a Bankster Busters conference, right? The conference will be, will also feature the world premiere of a film called The Mortgage Chronicles. It's going to be a 2 or 3 hour documentary that chronicles, you can already see parts of it on YouTube anyway, but that chronicles what's been going on over the last 5 years now. Well, nearly 5 years in terms of the great mortgage swindle and the attempts of a number of individuals to not only unravel it, but challenge it and bring it down. Expose it. The documentary is going to be very, very interesting. It's going to cover that. And I'm telling you, it's powerful stuff. It's very powerful stuff. Because it covers a lot of the areas that I've gone into tonight. But this key area. You know, you're... An eviction is, I would say, one of the most blatant examples of a genocide. You know, there's all this furore about culling of badgers and stuff like that, but no one fucking bothers about the culling of the indigenous male. What happened to my den? It was effectively smoked out. They sent in the Jack Russells, just like someone who was attacking a badger den would do. So we're going to organise a full day's conference that will incorporate a screening of the documentary. And everyone who attends will get their own copy in DVD form to take home with them. So the day will begin with us meeting at the location. Then we'll have the special screening of the documentary. Then we'll have lunch. Then in the afternoon, we'll be having the conference part wherein we will take people through very sort of hands-on remedies that people can use to deny the bogus courts any kind of jurisdiction in a matter in which a bank is claiming possession of their home without being able to substantiate the debt. I'm talking about, you know, templates, solid templates, good information. I'll also be taking people through step by step how the mortgage scam works, so everyone gets it. Then we'll have questions and answers. It's going to be a great day. It's been in the pipeline for a while now. So that'll be coming up soon, and we'll be promoting it through the usual social media. And if you can help with that, then please get in touch, you know, in terms of offering, even if it's just to promote it, or any skills you think you might have that would be useful. But we're going to keep it tight in that, you know, we've got to be clear about who's coming. We can't just have any Tom, Dick or Harriet coming along from the... They may well be genocidal. There may be pink rabbits, you see, out there. We don't want in the audience. remember a pink rabbit is someone who wants you dead. Someone who's actively engaging in a genocidal campaign against you. And that, by definition, would immediately include anyone working for a bank. Whether they're aware of these issues is immaterial. It's like the nurse who erroneously claims that a vaccination is good for a six-month-old baby and promptly fills it with all manner of heavy metals and potential problems through that needle that may well occur later in life. As is the plan, you see. You see, people right now are pointing at Africa and saying, well, look, you know, Bill Gates is over there engaging in genocide by way of these vaccinations. He's wiping out the Africans, it's in your face. But that's a smokescreen. It's designed to take your attention away from the facts of the matter. And the fact of the matter is that over here, you're being genocided. So, it's about taking action, okay, in order to reach the solution. The solution to this is that this fucking, all this genocide has got to stop. That is the solution. How we achieve that is by putting the information out there to the point where everyone fucking gets it, yeah? And also putting on days like we're going to be putting on, a conference, a screening of the documentary, getting people together and giving them the power through the various templates and the documentation that they can use to stymie the court in their attempt to steal their houses. Right, I'm going to end it there, then, right? Because we've gone to about an hour. So just to recap, then, this episode of this broadcast has been about the issue, amongst other things, of genocide and how forced mass immigration of non-indigenous peoples into indigenous countries is a form of genocide. That's the bottom line. Okay. Genocide also takes other forms, which I've identified: fracking, chemtrailing, financial genocide, in the form of the system that we're currently labouring under, as well as pesticides in food, fluoride in water, and so on and so forth. Oh, and Wi-Fi radiation, of course, is another. Radiation of all sorts. So we're touching on the issue of genocide, and we've particularly looked at how that genocide applies to mass immigration. How that is the cumulative effect of that is on the indigenous population. You see, it's been very easy for someone who senses and has a deep, you know, a deep connection with the land or an understanding that they have been subjected to a genocide, like those miners in 30 years ago, like some of the people who vote for UKIP. It's not that they're racist, because that, remember, is a nonsense too. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Well, we're talking about, you know, racism is bullshit. Well, colour prejudice. All right, so be it. People were brought up in different times, they've got different values, they've got different experiences. They may be colour prejudice. Doesn't mean to say they bear you any ill will. But these people who've been criticised in the past as being racist have been targeted because they may feel it, they may understand it, and they may grasp it very, very deeply, exactly what's going on, but they've been unable to really articulate it. And when they attempt to articulate it, they easily get shot down and labelled a racist, and that is that's psychological warfare. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Ethnic diversity is a code word for white genocide. See, Horace is about giving people the power to flip it back, to flip it over, so the individual can say, no, you're only accusing me of being racist because I'm white. What I'm dealing here is with white, I'm dealing with the issue of genocide here, genocide of indigenous peoples. You see, at that point, it's no longer about the colour of one's skin. It's about genocide of indigenous peoples. Stick to that. And that can be used to defeat any attack of that nature. No, you're just saying that because I'm white. This is about genocide. Genocide of indigenous peoples. Don't trivialise it. Yeah, so that's what I've been attempting to put across. As I said before, it's pretty rough right now. And as a consequence of that, it may not be as well expressed as I could wish for it to be. But we'll see, shall we? Anyway, thanks for listening. This has been another Roguecast from the Rogue Mail. In the heart of the concrete jungle. In the Badlands. In the East Midlands. In the land known as Dara. More commonly known as Nottingham, for now at least. So, I'll bid you a fond farewell. And if you stuck this out to the end, I'll thank you for listening. Please feel free to make a donation. I've got a... You can do that on the website. There's a donation button there, should you think these attempts at communication are in any way worthy of any kind of credit or reward that you're able to proffer. But only give it if you can afford it. Cheers.